Welcome, everybody. I'm very pleased that we've got a good turnout here for this event, this side event, which is particularly important, a discussion on the human rights situation in North Korea. We have fairly limited time, so it is necessary for us to get underway. We're scheduled to conclude at 2:30, so I think we're going to have to try and meet that commitment and so on. So let's proceed. I'd like particularly to welcome my co-hosts, the new ambassador of Panama, relatively new, Ambassador Laura Elena Flores Herrera. So welcome. This is the first time both Charles and I have had the opportunity to do an event with you, and we welcome that particularly. And of course, the Botswana PR, Ambassador Charles Motswangai. Charles and I have done many things together in the past, so this is a continuing partnership. I should make one or two quick questions about interpretation. English, of course, is channel one here. If you wish to listen in Korean, it's channel five, which will show up on the system as Chinese, but it's not. It's the Korean, which has specially been arranged. Mm-hmm. So that's channel five for interpretation into Korean. I needn't say much about the Commission of Inquiry itself. We're here to listen to the Commission make a presentation, so I won't say any more at this stage. I particularly also want to welcome the NGOs who've assisted and partnered and in some ways driven today's meeting. We welcome that very much. It's Human Rights Watch, it's the Jacob Blaustein Institute for the Advancement of Human Rights, it's the United States Committee for Human Rights in North Korea, and it's the Citizens Alliance for North Korean Human Rights. The key panellists today, of course, Michael Kirby, who was chairman of the Commission of Inquiry, which was established by the Human Rights Council and which reported earlier this year in what is a landmark report and by any standards of commissions of inquiry has raised the bar very substantially about the approach, the methodology and the evidence base for commissions of inquiry. And we think this in itself, separate to the actual substance and the nature of the report, the content, is going to change the way in which commissions of inquiry are done in the future. It's established such a strong benchmark for the future. We also have two very brave individuals who gave testimony to the Commission of Inquiry who will speak today, Mrs. Kim Hyai-suk and Mr. Jung Kwang-il. Now I will hand over the floor to my co-partner, the Ambassador of Panama, Ambassador Flores Herrera, to make some comments, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Excellencies, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. The government of Panama believes that human rights are the core of all aspirations for any society. And thus, we are committed to the promotion and protection of human rights through constructive dialogue and cooperation both within our borders and beyond them. That is why we chose to co-sponsor this event with the NGO Human Rights Watch, jointly with member states Australia and Botswana, and bring together three different regions of the world. We have an opportunity today, over the next hour or so, to share our views and opinions among all those present, country representatives, NGOs, on the issue of human rights so fundamental to a nation as enshrined in the UN Charter, which establishes the basic rights and freedoms to which all human beings are entitled. This year's report of the Special Rapporteur on Human Rights of the DPRK builds on the main findings and recommendations of the Commission of Inquiry on Human Rights in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The Commission obtained firsthand testimony through public hearings that were transparent, that observed due process, and protected victims and witnesses. These witnesses and experts have testified publicly and provided information of great relevance. The Commission issued a final report in February based on these testimonies, and that is what prompted our gathering here today to review these inputs. And I want to recognize the representative of the DPRK for being here today as well. I am certain that each of us will reach a conclusion after listening and reviewing the testimonies and voices of the affected people. As individuals and country representatives, we are entitled to our own opinions. As human beings, I am also sure that we feel deep sympathy for the people and express our willingness to defend a very basic human right and need, the right to well-being and a decent life for all. We feel confident, as positive signs have shown, by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea as per the latest government position upon recommendations made at the Universal Periodic Review, as well as the recent signature of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in July 2013. And we look forward to seeing even more positive developments and to supporting them. Nonetheless, we remain concerned about the findings and conclusions the Commission of Inquiry presented in regards of, and I quote, the systematic, widespread, and gross human rights violations. We feel this report presents an opportunity to move the dialogue forward with the ultimate objective of releasing the tense situation in this part of the world. In Panama, you will always find a helping hand when it comes to constructive dialogue, as we believe it is the bridge to attain peace and further development. We would like to reiterate that all states have an obligation to promote and protect human rights and fundamental freedoms and to fulfill the obligations that they have undertaken under the various international instruments. In this post-2015 era, we must dare to take an extra step. Under the responsibility to protect framework, the international community must be there and strengthen its coordinated efforts aimed at achieving the implementation of resolutions and conventions and to support all countries in doing so, while respecting sovereignty and non-interference in internal affairs. It is a delicate balance, but as nations of the 21st century, we have the diplomatic, humanitarian, and other peaceful tools and means to achieve this balance with the ultimate goal to protect populations. Thank you.
Thank you to Ambassador Flores Herrera. Let me now introduce Michael Kirby, who will obviously deliver a keynote address on behalf of the Commission. Michael is a very distinguished Australian jurist, but even more significantly, is a very distinguished international citizen. He has previously been president of the International Commission of Jurists. He's been a member of bodies such as UNESCO's International Bioethics Committee, president of the Court of Appeal in a number of countries, member of the World Health Organization's Global Commission on AIDS. He's been a special representative of the UN Secretary General for Cambodia and has done an enormous amount of quite instrumental and formative international juridical work. His special concerns, of course, have focused on human rights, the rule of law, the independence of the judiciary, and the impact of science and technology on society and laws, as well as a lot of quite instrumental work in relation to HIV/AIDS and issues like that. So, Michael Kirby, please, I hand the floor to you.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and I pay respects to the missions of Botswana, Panama, and Australia for initiating this session, and to everyone who is present, including the distinguished representatives from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea who have come today to take part in this dialogue. The Commission of Inquiry delivered its report. It delivered its report to the Human Rights Council in March of 2014. The report is different in particular respects, particularly in respect of the methodology which we adopted. We knew from the start that it was very unlikely that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea would permit us to enter their country. They have refused to engage with United Nations human rights machinery before, and they would not allow the two special rapporteurs on North Korea to enter, Professor Vittit Muntoborn of Thailand and Mr. Marzuki Darusman of Indonesia. And therefore, we decided that the best way to go about our inquiry was by transparency, open public hearings, engagement with the affected communities, invitation freely given to people to come forward, and engagement with media so that the whole world could scrutinise us as we performed our functions. We had no difficulty getting evidence. In the end, we had too much evidence and we had to cut it off so that we could get our report written by the end of 2013 so that it could be translated and presented as required by our mandate. I believe that the power of the report comes from the dignity which we accorded to the witnesses who came before us, whose testimony is on the internet and is available to the whole world, but not, unfortunately, to the citizens of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Those citizens cannot have access to the internet. It has not been placed on the internet. It has not been placed on their intranet. And I do most respectfully ask the representatives of the Democratic People's Republic here present to ensure that this report of the United Nations, which has been prepared on the mandate of the Human Rights Council and is now under consideration in the organs of the United Nations, be made available to the citizens of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea so that they can read what the world says about them. In that report, it is stated that the members of the Commission of Inquiry will go to Pyongyang in order to engage with the government, with the people, with the civil community, such as exists, in order to answer questions, explain, submit ourselves to scrutiny, submit ourselves to examination. I respectfully ask the representatives of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea here present to respond to that request, to engage with the United Nations, and to permit their citizens, who are people of their country, in whose name the United Nations is established, to have the opportunity to see and hear what we have found. In recent weeks, there has been a strong effort on the part of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea to secure some belief in this House that things are changing, that their stance on human rights has changed. I want to scrutinise what they have done. First, they have engaged at last with Universal Periodic Review. When they first engaged with the first cycle 2 years ago, they did not agree to a single recommendation. They remain the only country in this whole organisation that has refused to accept a single recommendation of Universal Periodic Review. After the report of the Commission of Inquiry, for the first time, they began to engage, and they said their position had evolved. Of 268 recommendations that have been put forward, they have said now that they accept 113. Well, again, I respectfully ask the representatives of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea to permit scrutiny to be undertaken objectively in North Korea so that this is not simply an assertion but can be scrutinised by people with expertise on the spot and also people with technical assistance that can help them to bring themselves into accord with charters that they have signed and with the Charter of the United Nations, which commits this organisation to universal human rights. They said that they would report their own scrutiny of their own human rights. They predicted that it would be a rosy report. Well, the rosy report was delivered on the 13th of September 2014. I have read every word of the rosy report. It is 93 pages in length, and when one reads it, one comes up many times to the assertion that they accept universal human rights, but to accept it and implement it, it must accord with our decision and our will. Our decision and our will is the text of their rosy report. That is to reserve to North Korea a veto. Universal human rights is something which belongs to the people and belongs to the people of the world, and it is their duty to conform to the principles of the Charter, the principles of the international treaty law, which they have signed, and not to reserve to themselves their decision and their will in respect of according the human rights to the people. A powerful leader of North Korea unexpectedly went at the end of the ASEAN Games to Incheon in South Korea and opened dialogue which had been suspended for 5 years. That is a good thing, but we have to assess that action against the fact that a country with a population of 23 million people, many of whom, at least in recent times, have been starving, supports the fourth largest army, land army in the world, as well as that, reportedly, a large number of nuclear warheads and increasingly missile delivery systems of sophistication that could deliver those warheads to their neighbouring countries and to themselves. They have promised in recent days to enter into dialogue with the European Union. Is this about their human rights record? Is this purely coincidental, or is this because of the concern that the international community, alarmed by the reports in our investigation, is now resolved that something should be done to render them accountable? At long last, within the last 2 weeks, one of their representatives has acknowledged that there are indeed labour camps. They have denied the existence of camps. Satellite images demonstrate beyond doubt that there are camps, but they now accept that there are labour camps, but say that those labour camps are simply to assist people to get their minds around the error of their ways. And then yesterday they released one United States citizen who had been detained in North Korea. These are, I emphasise, welcome steps, but nothing on the ground has changed in the slightest for the people of North Korea. And we are going to hear today the statements from people who bear witness before you, as they did earlier before the Commission of Inquiry, of the great wrongs that have been done to them. In the Rosie report, North Korea says that these people are human scum. Mark you, as you listen to the witnesses, whether you consider they are human scum or human beings who have come to this house to present the sufferings that they and many, many others have undergone. They say they have been bribed to give their testimony to the Commission of Inquiry. Consider that, please, when you hear Mrs. Kim give her testimony before you today. They say that they are not to be believed. They are criminals who have left their families and departed illegally from their country. They have not made our report available. They have not invited me or members of the Commission to North Korea to meet their citizens, and they have not allowed independent scrutiny to be undertaken in their country. This House, the United Nations, speaks endlessly of universal human rights, of rights up front, of accountability for wrongs, of R2P, the responsibility to protect, and of the obligation of those who are guilty of crimes against humanity to answer before justice for their crimes. And the question that is before the United Nations now is, when we face such a moment of truth, will the United Nations back away because of the steps belatedly taken by North Korea in recent weeks? And my hope is that the answer to that question will be no. We don't back away. We stand for the principles of the United Nations, and we expect accountability for great crimes before justice. And that is the right of the people of North Korea.
Thank you to Justice Kirby, and we will, of course, have a question and answer session fairly soon, but prior to that, we have a very important moment when we're going to have presentations by two North Korean witnesses. First of all, I'd like to introduce and invite Mrs. Kim Hyae-suk to give a presentation. This will be in Korean with simultaneous interpretation. Mrs. Kim was born in North Korea. Her family was relocated to a political prison camp when she was a child and living with her grandmother. Mrs. Kim herself was then arrested when she was 13 years old and taken to the camp. Mrs. Kim lost both her parents in the camp and was sent to work in a mine at the age of 16. Mrs. Kim was later released from the camp and afterwards escaped North Korea into China, from where she eventually made her way to South Korea, and that's where she now lives. And Mrs. Kim, I give the floor to you.
Hello, everyone. I'm 18살 그다음에 그 철조망에는 주민들한테는 전기를 안 줘도 그 철조망에는 3,300의 전기가 흐르고 있었습니다. 이런 속에서 그 아무런 제 자기 이유도 모르는 이런 사람들을 거기다 잡아놓고 석탄 탄 캐는 그런 그 일을 시키고 있었습니다. 저도 그때 13살 때 끌려갔을 때 정말 그 평양에서 태어나서 살다가 거기 갑자기 끌려 들어가니까 세상에 이런 그 거지 같은 이 그런 모습이 된 어머니가 저를 쳐서 밖으로 데려왔습니다. 그때 아무런 그 말도 못하고 그때 어머니를 따라가서 집에 들어가니까 그 짐승들이 그 사육할 수 있는 그런 속에서 사람들이 살고 있었습니다. 전기도 없이 그런 속에서 이 그 제가 28년을 살았습니다. 그때 제가 들어가니까 아버지는 그 보위부에서 잡아가서 없고 그 이후로 뭐 죽었는지 살았는지 생사 여부를 확인할 수 없고 그 다음에 어머니가 그 가장 근접으로서 그 세대주를 대신해서 일하면서 그 가정을 부양했습니다. 그러다가 어머니가 그 산에 가서 먹을 게 너무 없으니까 그 풀뿌리를 뜯다가 거기서 빈혈로 떨어져서 그 자리에서 사망했고 그 다음에 그 14살 어린 나이에 제가 가장 주부가 되었습니다. 늙은 할머니가 계셨고 그리고 거기는 그 학생들이 이 공부를 저는 영어를 그 평양에서 ABCD 그다음에 한자를 조금 배우다 들어갔는데 거기 들어가니까 외국어 교훈은 그런 거 외국어라는 거는 상상조차도 할 수 없고 애들이 내가 그때 겨울에 들어갔는데 몽땅 이게 신발도 없어가지고 다 이렇게 발로 싸매고 다니고 교복도 안 주고 이렇게 하면서 애들까지도 그렇게 정치범 수용소의 그 잔인한 그 범죄자들로 이렇게 취급을 하고 있었습니다. 그러나 저도 역시 그들과 같이 그래서 빨리 그렇게 그들을 따라가게 되더라고요. 그렇게 하면서 그 우리가 일곱 식구에 한해서 조준 강냉이 그 7.5kg 이런 거를 집에 가져다가 말리면 4kg 내지 4.5kg가 됩니다. 이런 거를 그 한 달 동안에 그 일곱 식구가 먹자니까 그거를 그 정말 하루에 한 끼 이렇게 먹으면서 너무 풀 뜯어 먹어서 풀도 산에가 풀도 없습니다. 그래서 그 도토리 나무 잎사귀를 뜯어다가 그거를 뚝뚝한 걸 우려내면서 이렇게 해서 거기서 사람들이 먹고 살고 그다음에 나이가 그래서 조금 차서 16살, 만 16살이 되면은 무조건 탄광에 쓰러졌습니다. 남자들은 골진공, 여자들은 채탄공. 저도 채탄에 배치 받아가지고 그 14년 동안을 채탄에서 일을 했습니다. 정말 그 남자들은 덜가루, 그런 게 진폐증에 걸려가지고 나이 40을 못 넘겨서 이 세상을 떠나는 그런 사람들이 많았고, 그 다음에 거기 관리소에서는 그 물론 관리소를 유지하자니까 그런 법정이 나오겠지요. 첫째로는 나이 그 죄를 묻지 말어라. 무조건 그 죄를 묻는 자에 한해서는 공개 처형 막 싸죽이고 이렇게 많이 했습니다. 그다음에 그 남자 나이 30세, 여자 나이 28세가 되면은 결혼을 승인해줍니다. 그렇다고 나이가 됐다고 해서 결혼을 다 승인하는 건 아닙니다. 10년 동안 지가 한 번 안 하고 일을 정말 일을 그 시키는 일을 잘 해야지만이 이것도 결혼을 그 승인해서 가지고 그 아기도 낳게 하고, 그러나 아기 낳는 그 산모들에 한해서 여성에 대한 무슨 대책이라든가 또 아기들이 그 나서 자라면서 무슨 저지 없고 뭐 이렇게 하면서 그 아기 그 어린이에 대한 보호 대책이라든가 이런 건 상상도 할 수 없는 것이 그 바로 북한의 정치범 수용소. 예, 제가 그 여기서 아버지, 어머니, 할머니, 남동생, 남편, 아이들 둘 이렇게 일곱을 굶어 죽고 탄광에서 사고 나서 죽고 이렇게 하면서 제가 28년을 살다가 2001년 그 김정일 장군님 탄생일하고 그 김일성 탄생일을 맞으면서 1년에 거기서 해제 사업을 두 번 합니다. 그때 제가 그래도 모범적으로 일을 잘해가지고 해제를 받았습니다. 해제는 받았지만 제가 뭐 유비가 있어야지 나오지 않습니까? 그래서 다시 일하면서 그 1년 반 동안을 벌어가지고 조금 모아가지고 나와서 저기 큰아버지네 집에 가서야 내가 이 그 28년 동안 수감되었던 이유를 내가 29년 말에 알게 된 겁니다. 그 이유라는 게 바로 할아버지가 그 한국 전쟁 때 그 한국으로 월남했다는 이 이유인데, 그때 13살 때 제가 끌려갈 때는 할아버지 이름도 얼굴도 모른 채 끌려가서 이렇게 청춘 거기서 다 보냈고, 정말 28년이라는 기나긴 거기서 가족 다 잃고 정말 나머지 허약에 걸린 그 병든 시든 모습으로 제가 거기서 나오게 되었습니다. 나와서도 뭐 집이 없고 어디서 받아줄 데 없으니까 가지 못하고 어린 자식들 두 아이들 끌고 다니면서 정말 방랑생활 하다가 국경경비대, 그 북한의 국경경비대한테 제가 저를 물어봅니다. 중국에 가겠는가? 그래서 중국이란 건 그때 아무것도 몰랐으니까, 그래서 가겠다 하니까 거기 가면 잘 먹고 이거 설거지하는 일을 시키는데 가겠냐고, 그래서 가겠다고 했습니다. 뭐 굶어 죽느니 그래도 중국에 잘 먹고 그런 일을 시킨다니까, 그래서 따라 나서서 가니까 국경경비대가 그 중국 조선 쪽한테 우리를 팔아 넘기는 겁니다. 예, 그래서 저도 그때 팔려가가지고 2005년 때 그 식당에 팔려갔어요. 그래서 식당에 가서 일하면서 이렇게 하다가 다시 말 모르고 이렇게 하니까 다시 그 북송돼가지고 2008년도 또 북송돼서 나왔다가, 나와서도 고주 한 대가 없으니까 다시 18호 관리소로 끌려 들어갔어요. 그래서 가서 보니까 6년 만에 다시 들어가니까 거기는 내가 있을 때보다 더 형편이 못한 거예요. 왜? 저 있을 땐 그래도 그 배급이라도 조준 강냉이, 썩은 강냉이라도 조금씩 줬는데 이건 아마 완전히 안 주는 거예요. 그러니까 어머니들이 아기를 잡아먹고 애들 잡아먹고 막 이렇게 하는 게 살인사건이 막 나고, 그래서 내가 결심한 게 제가 그 강제노동 6개월로 판결받았습니다. 그래서 노동교양소에 올라가서 보니까 그 동생들도 저한테 오지 못하는 거예요. 면회를. 그래서 아, 내가 여기 다시 있는 게 아니다. 내가 다시 탈출해서 다시 갈 것은 바로 저 중국이다. 그래도 중국에 가면 뭐 굶어 죽고 이렇게 하지는 않으니까. 그래서 다시 탈출해가지고 2009년 한국으로 왔습니다. 한국으로 와서 뭐 이렇게 그 탄광에서 그 14년 동안 일한 그 진폐증으로 인해서 많이 치료를 받고 있지만, 만약 제가 지금 북한에 있었다면 세상에 존재하지 않았을 걸. 그래도 대한민국 너무 너무 감사하고요. 그다음에 제가 뭐 숨쉬고 말할 수 있는 한은 제가 북한 인권을 위해서 일해야 되겠다. 물론 가족도 거기다 아직 있지만. 그래서 이렇게 그 제네바람 가서 보니까 외교관들님들도 많이 만났고, 그다음에 그런 회의 장소에서 그 북한 대사들이 화가 나서 나가는 모습도 봤고, 그다음에 제가 저한테 이렇게 희망을 주는 것은 우리 여기 그 전 세계의 모든 그 나라들에서 그래도 북한을 좀 회복해야 되겠다. 그래서 그 사실 그렇잖아요. 쟤도 모르고 거기서 이렇게 억울하게 무참히 짓밟히고 있는 이런 사람들이 저와 같이 자유세계를 만나고 그다음에 하루빨리 정치범 수용소가 철폐돼야지 되지 않겠습니까? 그래서 정말 이렇게 여기 모인 모든 분들이 저를 도와줘야 됩니다. 저는 그게 가족이 아직도 이유도 모르고 43년째 거기서 살고 있습니다. 그래서 저도 뭐 죽기 전에 한번 그 가족을 만나는 것이 제 소원이고 그다음에 여기 정말 모든 여기 모인 분들이 저한테 희망을 주는 것은 이렇게 인권을 위해서 힘써주시고 그래서 오늘 너무너무 감사합니다. 감사합니다.
Thank you, Mrs. Kim. I'd now like to introduce and invite Mr. Yong Kwang-il, who will give a similar presentation. He'll also speak in Korean. There'll obviously be simultaneous interpretation available. So, Mr. Yong, please.
안녕하세요. 예, 정광일입니다. 저는 1963년에 중국에서 태어나가지고 1960년대 말에 북한으로 이주하였습니다. 제가 최종적으로 마지막에 북한에서 살던 곳은 북한 함경북도 여덕군 서림천리에서 살았습니다. 제가 3년간 북한 정치범 수용소에서 수감 생활을 했습니다. 제가 제일 처음 체포된 것은 북한의 국가안전보위부에 체포된 것은 1999년 7월 20일이었습니다. 제가 체포된 장소는 함경북도 회령시 망양동 14번에서 체포되었습니다. 당시 저를 체포한 사람은 북한 함경북도 보위부 회령 곡성공장 보위부장 지영수가 저를 체포했습니다. 저는 그날부터 끌려가가지고 정말 베리벨 혹독한 고문을 다 받았습니다. 제가 실제로 아직도 머리에 흉터가 있고 각목에 맞아가지고 이빨이 다 부러지고 약 9개월간 고문을 받다 보니까 실제로 제가 체포될 당시에 76kg 정도였는데 38kg가 되었습니다. 체중이요. 제가 유치장에 수감생활을 하면서 하도 배가 고파가지고 사실 제가 체포된 이유는 간첩이라는 겁니다. 제가 무역을 하면서 한국 사람과 이야기를 나누고 사업을 했다고 해서 간첩으로 몰렸는데 저는 간첩이 아니라고 했습니다. 그런데 하도 제가 배가 고프니까 그러면 제가 잘 먹여주면 자수를 하겠다고 했습니다. 그렇게 돼서 제가 정말 한 끼는 잘 먹었어요. 너무 배가 고프던 나머지. 먹고 나니까 또 제가 부정을 했죠. 사실 제가 간첩이 아닌데 어떻게 간첩이라고 말합니까? 부정을 하니까 다시 가혹행위가 가해졌습니다. 이렇게 돼가지고 제가 2000년 3월 6일에 아무 영문도 모른 채 간첩이라고 결국은 인정을 했습니다. 그리고 아무런 영문을 모른 채 끌려갔습니다. 끌려간 곳이 함경남도 여덕군에 있는 제15호 관리소에 끌려갔습니다. 그날부터 제가 수감 생활을 하였습니다. 제가 수감됐던 곳은 서림천 구역이라고 하는데요. 거기에는 거기에 지금 수감 생활을 하고 있는 사람들이 대부분이 그 어떤 정치적인 일명 북한에서 말하는 정치적인 범죄였습니다. 실제로 정치범이 북한이 권한행위 행군이라는 식량 위기로 해가지고 권한의 행군이 시작되면서 혹시 주민들이 불평을 부렸다고 해서 정치범으로 잡아놓고요. 탈북을 하여서 한국으로 가려고 했다고 해서 잡아놓고 또한 기독교를 접했다고 해서 잡아놓고 좀 각종 좀 말도 안 되는 죄를 씌워가지고 수감시켰더라고요. 수용 생활을 하면서 제일 제가 뭐 수용소에서 수감 생활을 하면서 제일 힘들었던 것이 정말 말을 할 수 없는 사람이 하루에 그 노동량을 무조건 채워야 견딜 수 없는 노동량을 채워야 하게끔 했고 노동량을 채우지 못하면 식량을 주지 않았습니다. 그러다 보니까 수많은 수감자들이 영양실조로 죽었습니다. 제가 3년이 되어서 저도 사실 갈 때는 끌려갈 때는 제가 3년이 된 후에 제가 나 석방이 되는 줄 모르고 갔어요. 3년이 지나서 제가 석방이 되었는데요. 석방이 되어서 지금 현재 2003년 4월 12일에 제가 석방되었습니다. 석방돼서 나와가지고 바로 탈북을 하여서 한국에 와가지고 아직도 제가 악몽을 꿉니다. 지금 한국에 온 지도 10년이 지났어요. 10년이 지났는데 아직도 수용소 생활이라든가 유치장에서 제가 고문을 받던 생각을 하면 아직도 악몽을 꿉니다. 특히나 작년 COI 조사 사업에 제가 적극적으로 참가도 했고요. 특히나 지금 북한 당국이 COI 인권 보고관의 보고서를 비난하고 있습니다. 관리소 존재 자체를 부정하고 있습니다. 실제로 그럼 제가 살아온 함경남도 여덕군에 위치하고 있는 서림천 구역은 무슨 곳입니까? 전혀 없다고 하는데 실제로 존재하고 있는 사실입니다. 그러면 떳떳하게 국제사회에다가 서림천 구역은 일반 농장이다 이렇게 떳떳하게 공개하기를 부탁드립니다. 또한 김혜숙 씨도 이자 이야기했지만 실질적으로 북한에서 가혹행위가 자행 안 되는 걸 우리가 억지로 지어가지고 그 누구의 각본에 의해서 말하는 것도 아닙니다. 사실 그대로 말하는 것입니다. 제가 꼭 말씀드리고 싶은 것은 COI 구체적인 보고서가 나왔고 인권 유엔 인권 이사회가 보고서를 채택하고 지지한 후에 북한 인권 상황이 어느 정도 나아지리라고 보면서 항상 지금도 아직도 지금 북한의 정치범 수용소에 수감되어 있는 북한 주민들을 위해서 적극적으로 지지와 성원을 부탁드리면서 또한 강력한 유엔 총회 결의안이 통과된다면 북한 당국의 인권 상황에 대한 더한 압력이 가해질 것입니다. 전 세계 국가들이 이 결의안을 지지하며 적극적으로 북한 주민들이 자유를 위해서 성원을 부탁드리면서 또한 안보리가 북한을 국제행사재판소에 회부하기를 원합니다. 실제로요. 제가 2008년도에 ICC에 갔던 적도 있습니다. 그때는 실망을 했는데 지금에 와서 상황이 이렇게 되다 보니까 가능성이 전혀 없는 것이 아니라고 봅니다. 그러므로 국제사회에서나 여러 국가들에서 결의안이 통과되기를 지지를 부탁드립니다. 이상입니다.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jung, for that testimony. We now proceed to open the floor to questions and comments. I might just note beforehand that the drawings you see around the room were prepared by former North Korean political prisoners, some I understand actually drawn by Mrs. Kim. I just draw that to your attention. We'll need to be fair. If I could ask, we have very limited time and we want to utilize the time to the extent that we can. So if I could ask people who ask questions or make comments if they could be fairly focused, fairly precise in what they say. I think people know you register your interest in speaking by pushing a button here on the microphone system. It will then register up here with me and we'll call on people in turn. Our first speaker is going to be from the DPRK mission and then the ambassador of Canada. I do note that the DPRK mission is quite assiduously recording the proceedings, the testimony of our witnesses. I certainly hope that testimony recording will be put to good use. The representative of the DPRK, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the floor. At the first day, my delegation expressed deep concern that the panel discussion against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea as a holding and this holy place, the United Nations. This confrontational event has nothing to do with genuine human rights. Rather than, it is product of political conspiracy of the United States and hostile forces in their attempt to overthrow our political and social system. The COI report is totally and severely is distorting and faking up our real situation about human rights in DPRK by creating political confrontation. This human rights violation mentioned in this COI report cannot be allowed to exist in my country where the rights and fundamental freedom of our people are firmly guaranteed by a regular system in practice. The report of the COI is not worth at all to discuss as official document in United Nations due to its nature of political plot with running through the fabricated material of all kinds. Especially, we cannot overlook the fact that United States and hostile forces have been arbitrarily more and more in their attempt to create atmosphere of international pressure against the DPRK by releasing COI reports that are talking about, among other things, the so-called crimes against humanity and referral to international criminal justice mechanism through UN Security Council. Although DPRK remain in consistent principled position to solve all the issues through constructive dialogue and engagement, but we cannot compromise with this confrontational approach such as panel discussions. As mentioned just before Mr. Curry, DPRK expressed our willingness to hold human rights dialogue and engaged with the UN human rights bodies for technical cooperation. Also, we expect the positive response from European Union and United Nations human rights bodies. So in conclusion, my delegation, they would like some question with regard to the keynote speech made by Mr. Kirby. The first, even the Western mass media reported that the most of testimony made by defectors are forced by leading question. How do you comment about this one? The second, on the several occasions, also just before, you said that the Commission of Inquiry found crimes against humanity have been committed in North Korea based on the politics set at the highest level of a state. So my question is that, what policy exactly do you mean? And which crime are committed in my country against humanity? The last question, did we ever read our constitution? Also, did we ever read any report of the human rights report which our country published last September? The full title is the Report of the DPRK Association Human Rights Studies. Thank you.
Thank you for those questions. If I could have the indulgence of the Ambassador of Canada, I might ask Mr. Kirby to respond to those straight away, since I think they will give us a better platform on which to proceed to other questions and commentary. Mr. Kirby, please.
Thank you, and I am glad that the representative of DPRK is present and has heard the testimony is asking questions. I'm happy to answer the questions. The first was, mass media has said that the testimony was forced from witnesses by leading questions. I have spent 34 years as a judge. I know the difference between leading questions and what we call examination in chief, that is to say, non-leading questions, cross-examination and non-leading questions. I ask most of the questions during the Commission of Inquiry, and I specifically ask the questions in a non-leading form. Apart from anything else, that is the form of questioning that is most likely to get a response in the language of the witness themselves, and that is likely to be more powerful than cross-examination answers. In any case, Your Excellency can be satisfied about this yourself, not to rely on what media have said, some media, but to have a look yourself. In this country, you can have access to the internet. Google, North Korea, Commission of Inquiry, and you can sit for hour after hour after hour to see the witnesses, and I believe you will be convinced that the questions asked of them by myself and other commissioners were in non-leading form so that they could give the testimony, and their testimony is verbatim throughout this report. And it's why this is a readable report, because it contains the testimony of the victims. Secondly, you've asked why I said, or the Commission of Inquiry said, that there were several crimes against humanity which had been approved at the highest level of policy within the state. It is true that the Commission of Inquiry said that there were many crimes against humanity. Mark that we did not find genocide. We declined to find genocide, but we found many cases of crimes against humanity. They are all set out in the report, and the evidence on which the findings are based are set out in the report, and the report is available online, and I believe it has been translated into the Korean language. I again ask that this report in the Korean language version be made available to the people of North Korea so that they can decide whether the Commission proceeded fairly and secured evidence on which its findings are based. The third question was, did I read the Constitution and did I read the report of the Human Rights Institute in North Korea? I did not read the Constitution before I prepared this report in cover to cover. I did read such provisions of the Constitution as were made available to us. But common experience teaches that in some countries where great crimes are done against the people, a constitution is, and the words of a constitution are not as important as the actions of officials who defy the constitution. Sadly, our world has a number of instances where the constitution is a dead letter. I did read every page of the 93-page report of the Human Rights Institute of North Korea, and I think I must be one of relatively few people in the world that has read every page of that report. And as I have said, the report contains some statements which are fair comment. For example, criticisms of the United States and other countries for their own human rights record. My country, Australia, can be sometimes criticised for its human rights record. That's fair comment. But the report does not join fairly issue with the matters in this report. And I would urge once again that this report in its Korean language version be made available to the people of North Korea. If they have under your constitution a right of freedom of expression and freedom of free speech, then they have a constitutional right and also a right as a member state of the United Nations to have access to this report. And I again ask that that be done. And I ask you to withdraw the statement that witnesses like Mrs. Kim and Mr. Jung are human scum who are bribed to give the testimony that they have given before this meeting here today. I do not believe that that is what happened, and I don't believe that the people present in this room and the states present in this room will believe that for a minute. And I again ask that you receive me in Pyongyang in order to debate freely and openly and respectfully before the audience of the people of North Korea this report which has been prepared for them.
Thank you, Mr. Kirby. I have Canada, the United States, the EU, the DPRK on the list, so I think it's... Canada, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to offer some comments to what has been discussed here today. First, I would like to express thanks to Justice Kirby and his colleagues in the Commission of Inquiry for a very exhaustive and thorough report. I think, Justice Kirby, that you have done a great service not only to the people of DPRK, but also to the world in bringing to light issues of importance with respect to human rights. We in Canada see the report of the Commission of Inquiry as focused on human rights issues. This is not a political document or a political case being put forward. What the report does in exhaustive form is outline in great detail the types and the scale of human rights violations which are currently being witnessed in North Korea today. We endorse the call of the Commission of Inquiry for accountability, including with regards to any potential crimes against humanity, so that these may be investigated further, as stated by our Minister of Foreign Affairs when this report was issued last spring. We note that the violations continue unabated in North Korea, and in view of the failure of authorities to prosecute those responsible, Canada agrees with the recommendation of the report to submit it to the Security Council for consideration on appropriate actions going forward. During the state visit of the President of the Republic of Korea to Canada last month, she and our Prime Minister had the opportunity to discuss the security situation on the Korean Peninsula and also discuss the plight of human rights for the DPRK population. We are going to be particularly interested to see how the new United Nations field office to be based in South Korea might contribute to improving North Korea's very difficult and deplorable human rights record. It is true that while North Korea has participated in the second Universal Periodic Review of the UN Human Rights Council process and recently expressed willingness to engage in human rights dialogues with the international community, the content of their national report, as has been stated here today, and the messages that they convey continue to demonstrate a clear lack of acknowledgement as to the gravity of the human rights situation in the country. Canada has been a consistent voice in raising concerns about the dire human rights situation in North Korea, both in international fora and domestically in our own country, and we will continue to do so. The international community must continue to bring attention to the horrifying human rights violations and abuses in North Korea, and we need to support all efforts to this effect here at the United Nations and elsewhere. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The United States, I think, please.
Thank you. First, let me thank Australia, Panama, and Botswana for hosting this discussion. Let me first express our warm thanks to the witnesses who are here with us today for sharing their stories, for sharing their accounts so candidly with us. And of course, let me express thanks to Justice Kirby and his colleagues on the Commission for their report. It is notable for its rigor and impartiality, which is, I think, exemplary. And I think it's notable also for the innovation in methodology in particular for the transparency with which you conducted the work of the commission, which is crucial not only for establishing the information base that you were able to do, but also for genuinely empowering and dignifying the witnesses who had the courage to come forward throughout the process. I think it's important to say that commissions of inquiry are a well-known, trusted, and professional instrument of the UN human rights machinery, and in this case, of course, mandated by the Human Rights Council. You rightly and squarely focused in the commission on evidence about North Korea's human rights record and about violations, their nature, their scale, etc., and not on any other issues, but solely on those. And it's important, I think, to underscore that the power of the commission's of inquiry's report is in its evidence, in the evidentiary basis that you established, the information, the analysis, etc., which is not in and of itself confrontational or political. It is simply evidence. That evidence is either persuasive or it is not, but our debate should be squarely focused and singularly focused on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it's the EU next. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you also to the organizers, Australia, Botswana, and Panama. I think it's significant to see these three countries organizing this meeting, as no country is free from scrutiny, and there is a cross-regional concern on violations of human rights. Judge Kirby has done an outstanding job as chair of the Commission of Inquiry, and this Commission of Inquiry has been exemplary in its methodology and also in its outcome. I would like just to recall that the European Union and Japan, as we have done for the last 10 years, we will be presenting a resolution to the General Assembly, to the Third Committee on the General Assembly this year, which will build on the outcome of and recommendations of the Commission of Inquiry report and also in the Human Rights Council Resolution 2525. We have also heard the engagement by the DPRK in the last months, and Judge Kirby has given us his vision of that. We have also been talking to the DPRK in the last weeks, and we have to say that words should be followed by deeds, and I think we still need to see change in the ground and see how this thing evolves. But we cannot but welcome these first steps, and we will keep a close eye on these developments. But we will keep our strong stand and our strong commitment to end these violations and ask for full accountability of the crimes committed in the DPRK. Thank you.
Thank you. The DPRK has asked to have the floor again, but because they're seeking a second time, there's no problem with that, but I want to see if anybody else has anything. Sorry, I can't quite from up here. Yes, please. You're from? Yes, Japan. Please, I apologize. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And thank you very much for Australia, Panama, and Botswana for hosting this this meeting. And I thank also to Mr. Kirby, who gave us a very detailed speech presentation. And I echo to what EU delegation has said. We, Japan and the EU, will submit a resolution to the Third Committee of the General Assembly, and this resolution is based on the Human Rights Council resolution and also COI report, and we hope that we will gain support from the entire international community as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. I think DPRK, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my delegation would like to express our view with regard to the comment made by Mr. Kirby. So it's, I'm very glad to hear that you have already read the report of our human rights issued by our association. But a second question not yet given us with regard to which the policy is a source in my country for the crime against the humanity. So with the another issue, it is the crime against the humanity, just before you mentioned, it is the groundless delegation. Because my delegation is of view that the Commission of Inquiry and its report have no legitimacy and validity, because Commission of Inquiry, there was inability to get support from country concerned, and its report was made without fact-finding process. That is indispensable prerequisite for any other kinds of this other report for its validity to get through the process of the verification. But CY report did not do that. So if you have any other mind, also you are truly interested in the genuine human rights, you must make a report in a fair manner on the basis of a real situation, DPRK. Actually, now the CY report is only based on the testimony of the defector who escaped from the north after committing the crime. Also, CY report, instead of reflecting the real situation in my country, also reflecting the real voice of our people living in DPRK, is only grounded on the testimony and the witness of some people with inveterate negative disposition against our political social system. So I'd like to recommend you that if you have in mind to contribute realization of the genuine human rights, you must make report again in a fair manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I think now we're sort of moving into the next phase, which of course is answers to questions by the panelists or any additional comment, including from our two witnesses. So I think Justice Kirby, please.
Again, I thank the distinguished representative of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and I seek to answer the last questions in addition to the answers earlier given, and they raised, as I count them, 4 points. The first was, what are the crimes against humanity that the Commission of Inquiry found? And the evidence is set out in respect of each of the crimes which we found. We found them not as final matters because we were not a prosecutor and we were not a tribunal or a judge. We were a commission of inquiry, and therefore we were finding them on the basis that there was reasonable evidence to put the matter before a prosecutor who might consider putting them before a judge. So it's the first step. And the crimes that we found as amounting to crimes against humanity were, as set out in Part 5 of the Commission of Inquiry report, crimes against humanity in political prison camps, crimes against humanity in ordinary prison system, crimes against humanity targeting religious believers and others considered to introduce subversive influences, crimes against humanity targeting people who flee the country, crimes against humanity resulting from starvation, crimes against humanity targeting persons from other countries, in particular through international abductions. And I mention here the large numbers of citizens of the Republic of Korea and of Japan who were involved in abductions by agents of the state admitted by former Supreme Leader Kim Jong-il. They are the crimes against humanity that we found. And the reason for those findings are set out in detail, supported by actual testimony in each case. The next question was, what is the basis on which you say that your leaders are liable in respect of such crimes? The answer to that is also set out in the report. It is a legal answer. In international law, if those who have the power to stop crimes against humanity hold back and do not exercise that power to stop crimes against humanity, they may themselves personally be responsible for crimes against humanity. And that is why in the letter of transmittal of the report to the Supreme Leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, it was my duty as a matter of due process to include in the letter of transmittal a warning that Kim Jong-un, the supreme leader of North Korea, might himself be personally accountable for a crime against humanity or crimes against humanity if he held back from stopping those crimes from occurring. The next point I've already made, and that is that the final decision on whether to proceed is a decision for a prosecutor with power under a tribunal with jurisdiction. And that is why the solution that has been suggested by the Commission is the economical, professional, speediest and most appropriate way of having that matter determined independently in accordance with the rule of law, which is to refer the matter to the International Criminal Court, which only the Security Council can do. You also mentioned that the defectors are not worthy of attention because they committed a crime. The crime you are mentioning is the crime which your statutes have made in North Korea of leaving the country. That is a crime. Ordinary people in your country cannot get a passport. Ordinary people do not travel as tourists and friends to other parts of the world to see the world and all of its beauties. They cannot leave. And to leave, and especially to leave for China en route to South Korea, is a crime. And for that crime, they are severely punished. I suggest to you that that should not be a crime, and that their leaving is entirely understandable in the circumstances. Finally, you suggested that the report of the Commission is the result of hostile forces and purely political document. I deny that. On behalf of my colleagues, I deny it. One of my colleagues is a distinguished human rights expert from Serbia. Why would she engage in a political action against your country? The other colleague is the former Attorney General of Indonesia. Why should he engage in such action? I was a judge for 34 years in Australia. Why should I, in my retirement, come out of retirement to engage in a political action hostile to you? I deny it. It is not the truth. The truth is that this report is very concerning to the world community, and your country has to face up to it. And I again ask you to withdraw the contention that the witnesses are human scum, and to withdraw the refusal to make this report available to your people, and to invite myself and members of the COI and the Special Rapporteur to come to your country to discuss this matter with the people of your country, because it is about them and their rights.
Thank you. I might ask if either of our two witnesses, whether you wanted to say anything additional at this stage. Mrs. Kim, do you? Yes, please.
북한 측에서 실제 상황을 가지고 북한 인권에 대해서 이야기하자고 이렇게 보고서를 제출해야 된다 이렇게 말씀하셨습니다. 제가 실제 상황을 그대로 28년 동안 거기서 수감돼서 살았던 지도를 제가 약도를 저기 지도를 그렸습니다. 그래서 저거를 인공 그 지구위성을 해서 띄워서 와서 맞춰보니까 하나도 틀림없이 딱 맞아 떨어졌습니다. 이것이 바로 북창 18호 관리소에 위치하고 있는 저 백리 구간, 저 40km가 바로 저기 실제 상황을 저거 나타내고 있는 것이 아닙니까? 다른 것은 더 말하지 말고 실제 상황 것은 난 저 한 가지만을 예, 여기서 증언하고 싶습니다.
Thank you, Mrs. Kim. Mr. Young.
제가 지금 북측 대표분께서 제가 저희가 지금 거짓 증언을 하고 그 누구의 사주에 의해서 지금 이런 일을 벌인다고 하는데 저는 조선민주공화국을 전혀 배신할 사람이 없습니다. 배신할 생각도 없었고요. 제가 실제로 그런 순환을 당하고 나니까 대한민국에 와서 내가 잘못 살았구나 하는 걸 알리자고 한 것이고요. 저는 그 어떤 뭐 북한 정권을 무너뜨리기 위해서 하는 일이 아닙니다. 북한 주민들을 살려내기 위해서 제가 이 일을 하고 있습니다. 그러면 제가 간단히 이 증거 자료로 해령시 안전부에서 발급한 체포영장이 여기 있습니다. 이 체포 영장에는 날짜가 없습니다. 왜 날짜가 없을까요? 당시 검찰 소장부터 시작해서 안순부장 이름까지 다 있습니다. 여기 사인까지 다 있고요. 근데 날짜가 없어요. 이것은 무고한 사람을 끌어다 놓고 가혹 행위를 하고 유죄를 인정받은 다음 날짜를 써놓은 것입니다. 저는요 정말 이번 기회를 통해서 북한을 ICC 제소하는데 적극적으로 여러분들이 동참해 주시길 부탁드립니다. 이상입니다.
Thank you. I think we're drawing to a close because we're already approached the deadline we set ourselves and for which we have secretariat services available. Ambassador Ntuanga, I think, was going to make some concluding remarks. Please, Charles.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair, Excellencies, colleagues. Botswana is very proud to have hosted today's dialogue. And of course, this is a reflection of our commitment to the promotion and protection of human rights worldwide. And as you have heard, we have had a very successful dialogue in terms of bringing out issues of injustice and human rights abuse in the DPRK. We have heard from Justice Kebi himself. He has given a very useful perspective of the report of the commission. We have also heard from the testimonies of the witnesses, which have been very, very informative. And indeed, there have been very useful contributions from the floor, which have enriched today's dialogue. We are here really to, as part of our reflection of our concern for justice and human dignity for the people of the DPRK. It's very clear that there are atrocious activities inside that regime, and it's very clear also from the report of the Commission of Inquiry that report makes grim reading in terms of the chronic abuse of human rights in the DPRK. By the way, as a country, Botswana took a very serious view of the findings of the commission to the point that we are one country that actually broke diplomatic relations with the DPRK based on the findings of this report. And so we feel that the international community, the time has come for the international community to really take swift and drastic action in order to secure justice and human dignity for the people of the DPRK. The best we can do as members of the international community is to support the resolution that the EU delegation has referred to. When that resolution comes up in the Security Council, members of this international community should support that resolution in order that there is clear conclusion. We really appeal to the DPRK to open up, actively engage, in order to create space for dialogue and inclusivity. It's very clear these don't exist at the moment. And we certainly appeal that this be created. And these are very important, especially in this day and age, where values of democracy, good governance, respect for the rule of law, respect for human rights have become universal. These values have become universal, and so it's very important that the DPRK is part of this process. We can only wish for the people of the DPRK what we wish for ourselves, which is peace and prosperity. With this, Mr. Co-Chair, I can only say that it would be morally wrong if the world stood back and watched the events in the DPRK continue to take the shape that they are taking. The world needs to stand up and act decisively and very swiftly in order to arrest this ugly situation. With that, I want to thank you very much, Justice Kirby, for the very insightful contribution that you have made to our dialogue this afternoon, and to assure you that Botswana joins hands with the international community in resolving issues of human rights abuses whenever and wherever they occur, and we will not relent in that regard. And thank you very much, and I want to again thank my co-sponsors of this very important event, which has brought out a very significant issue in the international arena. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Charles. I can't obviously supplement those concluding remarks. They've made their point. I'd put a tiny footprint there and say that with respect to the comment from our DPR colleagues that we need a fair report, that the way or the opportunity for a discussion about the fairness of the report, of course, is to allow the Commission to visit Pyongyang for that kind of dialogue, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of many of us in recommending to your government that you do so. Could I thank Mr. Kirby, could I thank Mrs. Kim and Mr. Jung for their presence here today and their courage in articulating their concerns, and of course both my co-chairs. Thank the interpreters and thank you very much for your presence today. Thank you.